Artwork Newspaper Issue 221. May to June 2022. Title: Pioneering 20th Century Collector Remembered. Caption: Nick Jones is drawn to a remarkable exhibition marking the inspired choices of the strong, Puritan, ascetic, spiritual Helen Sutherland. Picture: Ben Nicholson. 1928, Walsenwood Cottage, No. 1. National Galleries of Scotland. Scottish National Gallery of Modern Art, Edinburgh. Presented by Miss Helen Sutherland, 1965. Angela Verintournes. All rights reserved, DAX 2021. Although the art historian Ernst Gombrich said that there is no such thing as art, there are only artists, I think Helen Sutherland loved both art and artists. Thanks to James Lowther, head of visual arts, Maltings, Berwick-upon-Tweed, there is a rare and wonderful opportunity to see truth and beauty, the 20th century British art of pioneering collector Helen Sutherland, at the Granary Gallery this summer. The exhibition explores the importance of her early patronage of artists, including Ben Nicholson, Winifred Nicholson, and David Jones. It's a rare chance to see some of their paintings that are not often on view, like Winifred's Yellow Flags and Moth, 1932, and Pinks and Roses at Cockley Moor, 1955. Helen's father, Sir Thomas Sutherland, founded the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation, ACHR HSBC, in 1865, became managing director of the Peninsula and Oriental Steam Navigation Company, ACHR P&O, in 1872, and Liberal MP for Greenock in 1884, 3 years after Helen's birth. When he died in 1922, she was a wealthy woman, with no ties or family, as her marriage to Richard Denman, Liberal MP for Carlisle, had recently been annulled. Helen was one of the first to recognize a change in the cultural climate in the aftermath of the First World War, which offered her a chance to rethink, reset, and rebuild anew, to simplify, and purify. There was a strong Puritan, ascetic spiritual quality to her nature, which, combined with warmth and compassion, made her so loved and appreciated by those she took under her wing. She was a good, loyal and supporting friend, not just to artists like the Nicholsons and David Jones, but also to the Pitman painters, to the poet Kathleen Raine, and, surprisingly, to some schoolboys from Newcastle upon Tyne. Living in London in the 1920s, she began to collect paintings by Corbett, Surratt, Paul Nash, Duncan Grant, and Cedric Morris before, crucially, being one of the first to value the simplicity and purity of Mondrian. She met Ben and Winifred Nicholson, who reconnected her to the North Country, inviting her to stay with them at Banks, near Brampton in Cumberland, high up on Hadrian's Wall. Helen was drawn to a purity embodied in the wild, cold, windy emptiness of Northumberland, moving to Rock Hall, near Alnwick, in 1929, and living there for the next decade. By now she had met David Jones, another loner, damaged by the trauma of war, seeking truth and solace of spirit in ancient Romano-British and Celtic roots. Bruised from an unhappy love affair with Eric Gill's daughter Petra, he must have missed the religious atmosphere of Gill's Guild of St. Joseph and St. Dominic at Didcling, and at Capel Wyffin in Wales. Helen clearly loved his work, buying more than 200 paintings. This exhibition includes Rock Hall in the Garden, 1929, and Chapel in the Park, 1932. I never met Helen, but I knew Jim Mead, her friend and fellow collector, with very similar taste. I used to visit Kettle's Yard, his Cambridge home, when he held open house. Usually there were just a handful of us, and there was time for an audience. Jim had a certain cool, detached presence. Everything was placed just so, to the point of feeling precious. Even the light bulbs gave off a frigid blue glow. I suspect that Helen had that same slightly scary, detached manner. She wasn't tall, but I imagine she could still look down her elegant nose at you. Everything and everyone had to behave as expected, no mollycoddling, and don't be late for dinner. Life was a rhythm, a rite, and a ceremony, the title of Val Corbett's book accompanying an exhibition in Penrith about Helen's later years at Cockley Moor, that I organized in 1996. Staying at Rock Hall must have been a bit like being on a monastic retreat. Perhaps that was why her favorite protege, David Jones, loved it so, even though he was messy, chaotic, tiresome, overstayed his welcome, and hated the cold. It wasn't long before Helen discovered a group of miners in Ashington, a few miles south, and recognized their talent and passion for painting. Better known as the Pittman Painters, their story is told in William Fever's book, which was later beautifully dramatized by Lee Hall, becoming a surprise hit in the West End and on Broadway. They appreciated her interest too. One member, Jimmy Floyd, apparently said, "Give her my picture. I can always paint another, but we could never get another Miss Sutherland." As James Lowther says, she regarded a painting by a Pittman as every bit as worthy as a Picasso. In 1939, aged 60, she moved to Cockley Moor, a remote fastness high up in the Lake District Fells above Glen Ridding. It was a bit rash and hard to get servants. Somehow she attracted a cook, gardener, and chauffeur. Then, unexpectedly, with the war, came a handful of boys from Newcastle to avoid the bombing. Billeted on locals, they stayed with her, attending school in Penrith, 15 miles away, chauffeured in the Rolls Royce, across Ulswar to the poet Kathleen Raine, born at Irvington near Charleford, was holed up in a vicarage after her marriage had gone west. Winifred Nicholson, up on the Roman Wall, was a visitor when petrol allowed. Winifred, Helen, Kathleen, three feisty independent women, following their stars, full of northern spirit, hefted to the wild, windy lands bordering Hadrian's Wall. Asterisk Truth and Beauty, the 20th century British art of pioneering collector Helen Sutherland, at the Granary Gallery, Berwick-upon-Tweed. May 21st to October 9th, www.maltingsberwick.co.uk.